Good morning from the Colonel Springs Baptist Church family. We welcome those of you that are live streaming with us today, as well as those of you that are in the house today. Thank you for coming. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you today that we can come into your presence. And Lord, you tell us where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you're present. We thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that you allow sinners saved by grace to come into your presence. And you allow sinners that are lost to come into your presence. And Father, I just pray today that what's said and what's done in this service today would bring you honor and you glory. Father, we pray for the nation that we live in. We pray for the leadership of this nation. We pray for the upcoming election. God, we pray, Lord, that your will be accomplished in all of this. And Father, we just pray today for those who've lost lives during this time of COVID-19, for those families. And Father, we want to pray today especially for those of our church family that are sick, Bud Myers and Bill Farrell and Carolyn Glenn Scarborough and Joyce and Greg Ballard, Miss Dot Lee and Brother James Gardner. God, we pray your touch on all of their lives as they deal with physical illness. And we thank you, Lord, that you're with each one of those families right now. And Lord, we just thank you today that you're in charge of those families right now. And Father, we pray today for the Troy Edwards family and the Bobby Gale family, as both of those men have passed away. And we pray your comfort upon both of those families. And Lord, thank you for loving us. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. And thank you, Lord, that we can send missionaries around the world to preach the gospel of Christ. Thank you for our Southern Baptist Convention, for the Mississippi Baptist Convention. Thank you for the work that's accomplished in those conventions. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you today that we can come together in Colola Springs community at the Colola Springs Baptist Church and worship you in truth and in spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of announcements I want to remind you of. We are in need of an Awana teacher and two assistants. Awana teacher and two assistants. We have a great need for that. I want you to see Rebecca Gamble if you're interested in either one of those. Where's Rebecca? She's in the back. Well, you can't see her because she's in the back, but that's who you need to contact. Contact Brother Mike if you can't get her, and between one of them, you'll catch them. And then one thank you card. Thank you so much for your gift to Life Choices. Lives are being touched here every day, and your gift makes a difference in touching more lives. That matters to all of us here, and it matters to those we will see again. Thank you. God bless. Ray Campbell. Chris, lead us as we worship.
Good morning. Let's all stand as we sing, "Oh, How I Love Jesus."
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Perfectly. Oh, how I love Jesus. sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deep they stay within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me, now safe am I.
Out on.
Sometimes I'm required to tell the truth about my wife. Now, I've told y'all a lot of things through 40 years, but this one tops it all. She prepared a birthday card. She put some money in it, and she lost it. And she has looked that house over, looked her cars over, and it's been a sight to watch, but listen to the next sight. It gets worse. Other day, she talked Patricia Spites into going with her. They went to the dumpster, and Patricia helped her get in the dumpster. Did y'all get that? I think they've got that on camera up there, Doc, and I figure in the next few minutes the Caledonia Law will be by to arrest both of them. So if that happens, y'all know what happened. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20. Verse 29 through 34. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, because they should not hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" And they say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. In your desperation, who's the answer? In your desperation, who's the answer? You know, we live in a desperate world right now. A desperate world full of desperate people. You think about the things that people are hurting from right now. There's an emptiness in some lives. There's loneliness in other lives. Some people have disease. Some families are dealing with death right now. Some are dealing with accidents. Some are dealing with problems that they can't even share. Some are dealing with conflict. Others are dealing with poverty. And it's, you know, I say this next one, and it's hard for me to grasp, but it's very true. There are others in America and in Mississippi and in Lowndes County that are dealing with hunger. There are others in life that don't have any purpose. And there are others that can find no meaning in life. And others say that they just don't have any significant things going on in their life. And others feel hopeless. And then there are others that feel helpless. And I just described your neighborhood. Your neighborhood. Or your community in which you live. And oh, how important it is that we as believers in Christ listen to what people are trying to tell us. In today's text, we find two blind men who were desperate. Two blind men who were desperate. Look at verse 30, 29 and 30. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy upon us, O Lord, thou Son of David." Let's look at some circumstances that we see in these two verses. Scripture says, as they departed from Jericho, notice the word they. They. Who were the they? Well, the scripture answers that too. It talks about a great multitude followed him. I want us to think about this. Some followed Christ in that era because they had a great need. Some even do today. And others followed Christ for what they could get out of him. And there are those that do that today. That's still true today. There are others that follow Christ because whatever they can get out of the situation. And you know, it's sad to say, but there are those that come through the churches from time to time. And when they've gotten all the finances, they can get out of a particular church. Then you wake up one morning, they've changed churches. Some do that. God knows their heart. And then others follow Christ out of curiosity. And then others follow Christ because in him they can find the answer in life. And they can find personal fulfillment in their lives. Listen, if I truly follow Christ, I will take up the cross, his cross. We read in the book of Matthew, "And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." In verse 30, we find two blind men sitting by the wayside. Two blind men sitting by the wayside. And I would submit to you today, they were desperate. They were both blind, and they were both suffering the same physical ailment in their lives they couldn't see. They were together. In being together, maybe they were companions. It's interesting to me, they were together sitting by the wayside begging, and they were sitting where Jesus was going to pass by. You know, some would call that fate, and some would call that chance, and some would call that destiny, but I call it a God thing, a God thing. It was not an accident that they were sitting by the wayside where Jesus was going to pass by. That was not an accident. Beloved, it was not an accident or a chance or a fate when Jesus passed by you. That was not an accident. The question is, did you put your faith in Him? Did you trust Him to be your Savior as He passed by, beckoning you to call upon Him to be your Savior? You know what, if you did, if as Jesus passed by, if you reached out and touched Him and He came into your heart and saved your soul, I'm going to tell you something, you left a different person. A different, because Christ is what makes the difference in our lives. And you found that answer in Christ. You know, some reject Christ as He passes by. Some reject Christ. And they leave unchanged in their lives. In verse 30, note the blind man cried out, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." Can you hear their desperate plea? This was their opportunity. Can you hear their plea? "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." Beloved, what happens to man when he fails to call on Jesus as he passes by? What happens to that man? Man becomes hardened and insensitive. And then lo and behold, he accepts his lost condition as normal. And man says, "I'm going to wait for a more convenient season." My friend, intentions are good. But an immediate action is what's needed. How dangerous it is to miss the calling of Jesus upon our life as He passes by. Isaiah 55 and 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He's near." Oh, they believed they had heard that He was the promised Son of David. Oh, they believed in His power to help. They cried out. They cried out for mercy. They cried out themselves for the Lord to give them back their eyesight. I want you to notice something. They asked for mercy and only for mercy. They were poor. Blind men of that day were beggars. There was no welfare system. Notice they did not ask for food. They asked for their most basic needs. They asked for mercy. Verse 31, "And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will ye that I shall do unto you?'" Notice these men and their persistence. Their persistence. Isn't it interesting that the desperate crying out always face opposition? All the multitudes rebuked those men as if to say to them, "You need to be quiet and you don't need to bother the master. You need to be quiet." You know what? The devil still has that crowd running around in his army today to discourage one from trusting Jesus Christ. The devil runs around in that crowd. They'll come up to you and they'll say, "Oh, don't you get too serious about this Jesus business, because somebody will make fun of you." No, don't get off in the deep end. with this Jesus business because it's not politically correct. I'm sick of that. Are you? Wow. Not politically correct. Listen, I would rather be not politically correct and go to heaven than to be politically correct and bust hell wide open. I wish I could go to Washington, D.C. and tell them that. My. There's a lesson here. When Jesus passed by, do not let hindrances stop you from crying out for mercy. I want you to know in verse 32 that Jesus stood still and he called them. And note what Jesus said to them, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" Did Jesus know their heart? Yes. Did Jesus know what their physical needs were? Yes. Did he know they were physically blind? The answer to yes. Did he want them to express their need to him? The answer is yes. As Jesus passes by, and as he passes by you, or he passed by you, did you call upon him to have mercy upon you because you were a sinner, lost and undone? Did you cry out for mercy? Did you cry out, "Oh God, forgive me"? You know what? Jesus never rejected a person who cried out to him begging for his mercy. Never. Sometimes churches get this so balled up. Listen. The church was never intended. Listen to this. The church was never intended to meet the needs of a certain class. What in the world is class? I want to go to Washington and tell them this too. What in the world is class anyway? Well, in our country, if you're in a certain social status, it takes a certain amount of money to get there. And some churches want to be the social status church. Wow. It's the number of dresses that you got hanging in your closet that are $500 to $1,000 dresses. It's the number of suits hanging in your closet that are $500 to $1,000 suits. I hope they don't look in my closet. I got one in there that cost $100. And in the social status, we want certain size houses. Oh, my land. We want certain size. We can't keep up with 1,000 square foot, but we want 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000. Listen. And then we'd be in the social class. We want a certain type of automobile, and we even want a certain type of hairstyle. Jamie don't qualify. We want a certain type of hairstyle. You fellas that ain't got no hair, y'all don't qualify either. How foolish sometimes can we be, and how foolish sometimes can our churches be? How long will we not listen to the desperate man as he cries out? Listen to me. If you go to a church that's nothing more than a social club, that ain't a church. You need to change churches, and you need to find one where the gospel is being preached. Oh, where is the person who will stand in the gap and reach out to help the poor and the lost of this world? And then verse 33 and 34, "And they say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." Keep in mind that they were beggars, ever so poor. Society had rejected them. Society had told them, "Don't bother Jesus." My friend, they had a request. They had a request. They had a desperate need. A desperate need in their life. I would submit to you today, if a man doesn't know Christ, he's got a desperate need in his life. You know, we see blind people today. Physically blind people. When I was a principal at Lamar County High School, we had a wrestling team there, and the wrestling team was to go down to Jackson, Mississippi, to the School of the Blind. The coach came into my office the next morning. That's after he got home from the School of the Blind at 2 o'clock. He was in my office at 7:30 to teach another day. I said, "Coach, how was it?" He said, "Those blind boys whipped the stew out of us." You know what? There are many that come to Christ only when they have a physical need. But the real problem is a spiritual need. The real problem is spiritual blindness. And they're spiritually blind sometimes, and they really don't even realize it. Verse 34, "So Jesus had compassion on them, touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." My friend, listen, when Jesus passes by you, and you cry out to him for mercy and forgiveness of your sin, you will immediately be changed and you will leave as a new person in Christ. Some folks say, "Well, he got a little too much of it." Whew! There ain't nothing wrong getting too much of it. Ain't nothing wrong your preacher hollering every once in a while either. My, you know what it's been said, that grace is getting what we do not deserve. And mercy is not getting what we do deserve, because we're sinners. Because we're sinners, we deserve hell. And because we're sinners, we deserve separation from God. But thank God, through his mercy and his grace, when I cry out to him, and when I did years ago, he saved my soul and made a new creature out of me. And he's still doing that today. God chose to be merciful to man, and God chose to give man an opportunity to be saved. A number of years ago, there was a governor in Texas who decided that he would go speak at their prison. And so he went to speak at their prison, and after he'd given this long speech, he decided to just talk to the different inmates and listen to what they had to say. And inmate after inmate came by, and they told him how innocent they were. And they told him that the judge was wrong, and they told him that the prison wasn't any good, and they just told him that they never did what they'd been convicted of, and they were in there for years. One old boy standing over in the corner. The governor got to him. This old boy said, "Governor, I don't want to take up much of your time. I just want to say that I really did what I was convicted for. And I've been here in prison for many years, and I've paid my debt to society, and if you see fit, I would beg you to pardon me, and I will be grateful to you and live as a law-abiding citizen the remainder of my days." Beloved, that was the man that the governor pardoned. Yes, he was guilty. He needed to be punished. He admitted he had committed his crime. He humbled himself and he asked for forgiveness of the governor. And that's exactly what sinful man must do with Almighty God. He knows our sin. We deserve his wrath. But if we will confess our sin and humble ourselves and ask for his forgiveness, he'll save our soul. He'll save our soul. God will be merciful and offer us salvation. Are you saved? Are you saved? Maybe Jesus is passing by you today and tugging at your heart to trust him by faith to be your Savior. Are you saved? Let us pray. Our Father, you know every person in this building. You know every heart. You know those, God, that through the power of the Holy Spirit that you're passing by today. And God, it's my prayer today that they'll reach out and ask you to forgive them of their sins and save their souls. Father, have your way in this time of invitation. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.